that had initially been seized by the Russian military, recaptured by Ukraine against all odds. But the pro-Putin obstruction that has stopped this national security legislation from advancing to the floor until this point risks all of the progress that has been made, which is why it's so essential for us to do what is necessary to stand with the Ukrainian people.
It's Saturday, 20 April, in the year of our Lord, 2024. By the way, yesterday was the anniversary of Lexington and Concord because of the intensity of the show and things that were happening. I didn't get to that. I'll do that Monday. Let's duly note that. Right there. Here's what a farce this is. And understand this is tough because we're going to lose this vote today. We're going to lose this vote because all the Democrats are going to vote for Ukraine. Now think about it for a second. Have you seen this cast of characters that we show here on the floor? Have you seen? It looks like the Addams Family, right? It's a group of goofballs. They're embarrassing even to look at. They're goofy. You got the woman with the purple hair, and you got oh, they come up there and they're it's a bizarro. Do you think any of those people have they historically have that party had any interest in the security of this nation ever? 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 Have they not been the anti-America crowd that America, you know, America's evil, America is a bunch of colonizers, our forefathers are slave owners and colonizers and the worst people on earth? That's them. That's them. They're all neo-Marxist. You go back to they oh, I'm really a progressive or I'm the, no, you go back, they're the basis and core of their thinking, they're neo-Marxist. They're a difference in degree, but not in kind. Of the Bolsheviks and Mao, and it's not quite as in your face, although you're starting to see it in your face on these campuses with this pro-Palestinian, and that's why I say the Sharia supremacist movement is the most anti-American movement in history, and I will be proven right. I think I'm proven right every day on these campuses, but I will be proven right. I don't want to say as I always am, but I'll be proven right, just like in Wuhan, just like all the other places. I will be proven right. And that's what they love, and that's what they support, and that's who they are. And Hakeem Jeffries is going to sit there and lecture you on defense of this country. Are you kidding me? And what Gregory Meeks and the rest of this crowd—they're all up there. They're having a Churchill moment. You think it was Churchill and Commons in 1939? You think in May of 1940? Boom! That's Hakeem Jeffries and Gregory Meeks. This is a farce. If you buy into, and that's why. And I understand a lot of Posse's worried and Gates and the Hard Eight. Hey, I don't want to hear it. He's got to go. Johnson's got to go. If you're not going to hold him accountable, why do we hold McCarthy accountable? McCarthy had to go, and he went. Mike Johnson's got to go. And no, we're not going to jeopardize. That's all phony. If they want to, I said that the speech last night. If guys are going to threaten to resign to make Hakeem Jeffries, if we want to remove Johnson, call their bluff. I want him unmasked. I want to see who that is. Because then you're going to sit there and go, hey, I've supported that guy. I gave that guy money. I supported her. I worked precincts for her. Let's have a great unmasking. Part of doing this, of these two parties now down the path of Trump MAGA, means populist nationalist. No more neoliberal neocon. All you're hearing today in the Churchill moment is neoliberal neocon. And remember, Churchill called it the unnecessary war. The unnecessary war. I hate to bring up, you know, things that I know are going to upset some people, but was it not Patton and not some of the generals after we didn't take Berlin and we held back and guys are saying, hey, who are we really fighting here? What are we doing? Not going to Berlin is one of the keys that picks the lock to all of this. They're not interested in victory. They've never been interested in victory. What was McCarthy? And they demonized McCarthy. He was this, he was that, he didn't have a list. Hey, McCarthy went on the floor of the Senate and gave a 6.5-hour speech called Retreat from Victory. 6.5 hours. In the Senate. And he walks through, and maybe all of it in the 6.5 hours doesn't tie together. But he went after General Marshall, which, if you're in Morning Joe, it's where all those historians, they worship. And this hurts me. General Marshall from VMI, and General Marshall is revered in the Commonwealth of Virginia, almost at the level of Robert E. Lee or Stonewall Jackson, as President Trump's, maybe they're not the hottest topics in the world, right? General Marshall. But McCarthy goes, and maybe they should talk about that today when they're talking about Churchill. What about at the end of the war, McCarthy's speech, 6.5 hours in the well of the Senate, right there, 6.5 hours about retreat from victory, about what in the hell did we just do? How did we actually get involved in these wars? Who was the real enemy? And why at the end of it is our ally, the Russians, controlled by the Bolsheviks? Why are the Lao Beijing, who sacrificed so much, why do we give the country to Mao Zedong? We, the United States State Department, why did we do that? And why is Eastern Europe a captive nations all the way up? Oh, yeah, and we threw a few bones to Greece, and we threw some dollars over to the Balkans. That's totally performative. Why did that happen? And Churchill says, you know, a great iron curtain's come down. Well, how did the curtain get made, and how did it get let down when they were supposed to be the junior partner? How did it do? McCarthy laid them out for 6.5 hours. And you know what they never report? I've read every biography of McCarthy. He's a demon, he's a demagogue, everything like that. What they don't highlight, and even the official General Marshall 4-volume, which I read, doesn't highlight, 90 days after that speech is given, General Marshall retires. That is called in our business a scalp. He retired to spend more time with his wife, of which they had no children. Spend more time with his wife, more time with his family. 90 days. You don't think McCarthy nailed it? McCarthy nailed it. Read it. Same situation we're in today. They're lying to you. And the perfect example I got is you got Hakeem Jeffries. Hakeem Jeffries is going to give you a Churchill versus Chamberlain moment. The veterans in this audience, the people who sacrificed in this audience, the people who love their country, he's going to sit there and they're going to give you, if you don't vote for Ukraine, let's be blunt. When we do a formal investigation of Ukraine in the second Trump term after his third victory, which folks ain't going to be easy, I'm telling you, this New York thing, they're going to come at President Trump with everything. This is a game changer. We're going to have to power through it. I know you don't want to hear that, but we've got to power through it. We're going to have his back more than we've ever had his back in this thing. But when he gets in there and we do the investigation that MTG and others have been calling for because they haven't audited a penny, when we do that, remember, Heritage found the $14 billion they're lying about. Chip Roy's given the $113 billion. Heritage will tell you it's $129 billion, $125 billion. When we do the formal investigation, you're going to see exactly how much money. You're going to see exactly how much money went to the battlefield, and how much money they flat out stole. And you're going to see what Victoria Nuland was doing. You're going to see the color revolution. How did this all start? You're going to see what our involvement's been there. You're going to see about the child trafficking and the human trafficking, and you're going to see about the bioweapons labs. We're going to expose it all. And what do you think is going to happen when it's exposed? Just like the Pentagon Papers, just like the Afghanistan. Well, I didn't know that. That was not reported. No, of course it's not reported. It's the common lie they want to tell you. Wake up. See what you see. What does it take a great power and a great nation, the greatest nation in the history of mankind? We act like fools. Look at the waste of Vietnam. Look at the waste in Iraq. Look at the waste in Afghanistan. And now we're here again with the same group of clowns telling you, and now they're taking the greatest generation, and the great, it's like waving the bloody shirt after the Civil War. They're going to hold the greatest generation. They're going to hold Band of Brothers because it's been mythologized. They're going to hold Band of Brothers and Masters of the Air and 12 O'Clock High, and they were expendable. Sands of Iwo Jima. They're going to take the greatest sacrifice probably in the history of this country on the battlefield of the greatest generation, and they're going to throw it up in your face that you are you are mocking their memory if you don't vote for Ukraine. That's what he said. That's what he said. You, this audience, you are bad people. You are not patriotic. You are Neville Chamberlain. You're going to lead to the further destruction. The same exact people that are in San Francisco rubbing up on Xi, popping champagne and giving him two or three standing ovations. They have the gall to come to you and say, oh, you're Neville Chamberlain. You are in business with the greatest existential threat this country's ever had. You are war profiteers. So don't sit here and give me some example from the 1930s, right? From the 1930s, we've had the moments. We have who? Okay, let's go to that. Let's go to Colonel Self here. I think it's anti. Let's go ahead and play. Let's go to the Capitol Hill, the floor.
GDP on defense. Europe must act with greater urgency. We've heard a lot about Churchill and Chamberlain. If, may I point out, they're both British. If the Great Britain and Europe as a whole had done more with Austria, with Sudetenland, history might be different. I implore my
gentleman's time has expired.
Border security ahead of Ukraine's, and I yield back.
The gentleman from Florida reserves. The gentlewoman from Connecticut is recognized.
Chair, I yield 2 minutes to the gentlewoman from Minnesota, the ranking member of the Defense Subcommittee, Ms. McCollum.
The gentlewoman is recognized for 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's been 6 months since President Biden sent his security supplemental to the Congress, 2 months since the Senate passed it. But today, the House will finally act. And it's not a moment too
okay.
soon.
This is not a moment. This is the Democrats. They're so big on security of the United States of America. Right there. You see it. We got to play this. I think Grace and Morgan are going to get up on a separate channel so you can get the whole thing. Just to watch it today. You tell me if that crowd has America's interests in mind. This is why they have to imprison Trump. This is why they have to stop Trump. They think Trump is a bacillus. They think he's infected the system with America first and America's citizens first. That's not the way the system's supposed to work. It's America last. It's America last. It's America last. Always remember, always and everywhere, McCall, your father, the heroes of the greatest generation, particularly the 8th Air Corps over Nazi Germany bombing the industrial. It was the British who would not do precision. That's the whole point of 12 o'clock high. The British, God bless them, would not do daylight precision bombing. Why? The casualties were too high. They would do nighttime, but at nighttime, it ain't precision. It was the Americans that did precision daylight bombing. It was the Americans that gave the ultimate sacrifice. Because the British knew they couldn't lose too many pilots. They were so outgunned anyway. How many nations in NATO? I talk about NATO this and NATO that and all the elites. How many of those guys were on our side? Yeah, we had the British. And the British, in their defense, they couldn't take the type of mass casualties they took in World War I. They couldn't do it. No government, no democratically elected government could withstand that. They couldn't do it. So how many in Europe in that NATO crowd? Scandinavia? No. Spain? No. Italy? No. Germany? No. The Low Countries? No. You had some resistance people. You had some brave resistance people. Many of the resistance people, let's duly note, were communist in France, in the Low Countries. They were fighting. They were fighting the fascists, but they were, many of them, I think the majority of them were communist. Not just their own nations. They had a whole different deal in mind, but that's okay. They fought with us. France, the whole country, you had what? De Gaulle had a combat division? Maybe. The Poles gave us an air battalion, air brigade of volunteers. You had some volunteers. But their governments were with the fascists. Their elites, and the reason their governments were with the fascists, their elites were with the fascists. All of them. And now they're shirking their duty right there. They're talking about, as President Trump said, they ain't paying up. They need our $60 billion. I can go to Switzerland. I can go to Stade right now and get you $60 billion. Easy. Can do easy. You turn them upside down. You shake them. You get the money. You get more money in Europe. You see how the Europeans live with the full health care and the pensions and quitting at 50? You doing that? Are you out there doing that? Those people in, outside the bodega, are they doing that? You damn right they're not doing that. Because they're abused. Short break.
Right now, millions of Americans face prescription medication shortages. The FDA's medication shortage list currently has over 120 prescription medications listed. Some patients are being forced into more expensive substitutes, while others are rationing what little medication they have left. Don't get caught unprepared. That's why I want you to pick up a Jace case today. The Jace case is a pack of essential antibiotics that can treat a long list of common bacterial illnesses, including UTIs, respiratory and skin infections, plus much more. And each case can be customized for your specific needs with dozens of add-on options. Just fill out a simple online form and Jace handles the rest, from the online evaluation to licensed pharmacy delivery and ongoing care. Visit jacemedical.com and use code Bannon at checkout for an extra discount. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Get the Jace case and get it today. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
Welcome back. I've just put out the fifth installment, totally free, of The End of the Dollar Empire. This is called Economic Security. It's about, it's a comparison of the central bank digital currency and our fiat money, what's happening tied to things like putting another, with the ink not even dry on a $1 trillion defense bill, with the ink not even dry on $7 trillion of spending, they are putting in a supplemental of just $100 billion. Remember this day and remember these congressmen. When we come back in January and you have to cut literally $400 or $500 billion in period zero, that means day one, to get to a balanced budget in 5 years, you got to cut a couple of $100 billion. Because I say the math doesn't work any other way. Even people that I'd like and admire, they give you these things. I said, hey, come on, man. That's all. That's just more. This is more airy fairy. If you're going to cut this, you got to cut it. You combine what we're doing today. You combine what our financial situation truly is. You can combine the Moscow show trial in New York on Trump. You combine the Benny Thompson, let's take his security away so he can get murdered in prison. You combine what happened in Harlem to Todd Benzman's report on the Rio Grande Valley, where they see, as I keep saying, 2/3 of our nation's MAGA are 75%. And they see the attraction. Stephen A. Smith, if we can play that a little later, maybe I'll get to it on Monday. Today may be too jammed. Stephen A. Smith came out with another one last night, talked specifically about the African-American and the minority community waking up to the fact that the great replacement theory is against them. Where have you heard that before? Against them, against minorities, this invasion. And he says they can't lie about it anymore. You combine all of that with all this grandiosity on the House floor from these Democrats. They're all Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, if these guys were out there defending, he'd spit on the floor. Give me a break. It's just a travesty. Also shows you how dumb they think the American people are, that they can do this. MSNBC and CNN is going to play it. The Sunday shows tomorrow are literally going to make Mike Johnson Churchill. His historic moment. He stepped into his moment. The adults in the room, he said, the radical fringe. Well, you can call us a radical fringe. We're 60% of the American people or 70% of the American people. When they see the facts in Ukraine, they say, absolutely no way, not another penny for these crooks. Is the $60 billion going to change the opinion of the moms and dads that got their kids out? Because they don't have the $500,000 for the $60 billion. Is that going to change it? They're going to give money now to come in. They ain't no money on earth going to keep those people back. They're heading to the hills. They're crossing over. McCall, when you're sitting there with that very teary thing, I'm on the border of Poland and Ukraine. They're running. It just wasn't winning. Sheldon, you had so many guys going through they were catching. They want to get the hell out because they understand exactly what Zelensky and the collection of crooks that were the third most corrupt government in the world at the start of this and probably the most corrupt now because they're stealing with both hands. And the CIA knows this. They come back and brief people. They went Burns went over to talk to Zelensky. He says, you guys got to stop stealing in broad daylight with two hands because this is going to get to be a problem. All that fighting and all the exposure of this, and you're still going to have, 100 Republicans vote for this. Remember, mark their names down because you're the only guys that can remove them. Their constituents are the only ones that can remove them. And if you believe in this Ukraine situation, then get ready for defense bills that are $1.5 trillion. I would like you to go into the chat room and explain right now how we're going to pay for this. That's why I go to Birch Gold right now. Just you'll see now the five installments, particularly the last one about the central bank digital currency. And we do it vis-a-vis the de-dollarization movement. We go it vis-a-vis about the destruction of the dollar. Don't let people tell you the dollar is the strongest it's ever been. That's against other world's fiat currencies. That's like you're the world's tallest midget. We're talking about in comparison to commodities, other things that drive into inflation, and the dollar. And the ways keep going, you got a lot of juice left. I'm not a guy that gives financial advice, but I'm saying just look at the macro and look at what they're doing. Look what's happening today. You just spent $1 trillion in defense. They couldn't carve out, not one, they couldn't carve out for Israel, they couldn't carve out for anything. Oh, we can't carve out, we're already fully engaged. We just got the guys out of Niger, I think, yesterday, after exposing that with Matt Gaetz over a year. Got 1,000 combat troops there. Well, how did that happen? I didn't know we were war down in Niger. Building a secret air base down there. Why? Because the uniparty globalists got to be everywhere, got to have their nose in everything. Got to have their nose in everything. Ben Harnwell joins me. Ben, thank you for being patient. The Kyiv Post are not fans of MAGA. They're not fans of War Room. They're not fans of ours. The Kyiv Post, an English-speaking language, but it turns out, through your investigative reporting, these aren't actually Ukrainians. It turns out to be worse than that. Who are the guys there, the English-language paper in Kyiv, the Kyiv Post, which I don't want to call the Langley Bugle of Ukraine. We'll hold that off for another day. But they're actually using Americans to attack us, correct?
Steve, it's a sad story, yeah. Good morning to you. This is, we're talking here, the Kyiv Post, which is Ukraine's oldest English language newspaper. And they've got an article here headlined, The Enemy Within. And who is the enemy within? They're talking about the United States. Who is the enemy within the United States, Steve, according to the Kyiv Post. It's you, Steve Bannon. You are described in this article as an extremist and a criminal. And when I read this, I was absolutely overjoyed because it really does. Now, this is the illustration how much the Kyiv regime fears MAGA and the War Room posse, because they can see the results that that the momentum that you're pushing is starting to affect. And of course, the timing here with the $61 billion isn't an accident. And this is how they're trying to constantly influence the debate in the United States. So there's just three points here that I'm quickly going to mention. And then I have two other things I really have got to see if I can squeeze in to my hit today, because it ties in everything you've just been saying in the front part of the show. So basically, this article here, it attacks MTG, saying that basically she's the person responsible for holding the speaker hostage. It suggests that MTG and J.D. Vance should be, and I quote here, that they've been so outrageous they ought to be investigated for Russian contacts, much like some of the members of the AfD in Germany. That's, let's be frank, Steve, that is a threat of a judicial takedown on two elected representatives. And that's absolutely clear, a la New York, right? The third point I'd quickly like to mention here is that, and you mentioned this in your introduction, who wrote this article? It's a guy called Askold Lezhinsky, who, according to Wikipedia, I mean, born in New York, he's a US attorney. He's not even Ukrainian. He's a professional Ukrainian-American. His whole history, and of course now is his moment, now that Ukraine is in the... his whole history has been involved in promoting Ukraine as a Ukrainian-American. And this is his golden hour. And he pushes out this article called The Enemy Within, Steve. And I just want to close with this. I think it ought to be absolutely obvious to everyone following the show today. The Enemy Within isn't Steve Bannon or MTG or J.D. Vance. It's people like this, who have hyphenated identities but always seem to find a way of putting the other country first before the United States. Astonishing article, which you can find on my Getter feed.
Hold on, Ben, just hang on for one second. We're bringing Congressman Bob Good. Congressman, we heard McCall. We think this debate's totally phony today. The Churchill-Chamberlain comparison, the Churchill moment. Can you give us an update of what's happening on the Ukraine vote?
Well, we expect to vote at about 1:30 today on the four-bill package plus the additional fifth bill, but a four-bill package which represents the worst in Washington. As you know, it's a reversal of the Speaker's long-stated commitment to prioritizing our border security first and not bringing Ukraine funding to the floor without meaningful, significant, real border security for the United States. Obviously, he has reversed on that. I think similar, Steve, to what he did on the FISA reauthorization, where he, for 7 years, he was in favor of protecting Americans' constitutional liberties until he talked to the Intelligence Committee. I think the same thing happened with Ukraine. He talked to the defense industry, and they persuaded him that it's our responsibility to fund Ukraine to further enrich the defense contractors here that provide so much in the way of material support to the party, I guess. And so he says, you know, we can't have Kyiv fall on his watch, on our watch. And so you're going to see us borrow some $60 billion to fund Ukraine. You're going to see us borrow an additional $35 billion that we don't have to send overseas for countries who don't have the debt that we have, by the way. They're not fiscally insolvent the way we are. And we're going to do it predominantly with Democrat votes.
Well, the rule, we had a live training session in Vegas, and people were very jacked up, understanding that the three members of the Rules Committee, who are all represent various different kind of factions, the Libertarian Tom Massey, you had Chip Roy, you had Ralph Norman, opposed to the rule. And then late at night, the Speaker, for I think the first time in history, because the rule is supposed to give the majority their ability to control the House and the House floor, sided with Democrats and didn't even invite the Republicans in for the amendments. So given that he's shown his true colors, and this is, you know, time and time again, to pass the spending bills, to pass the FISA with the warrantless FISA so that, you know, we're supposed to be the fascists, but to give the administrative state the ability to spy on American citizens, of which we fought against all American citizens, regardless whether they're progressive Democrats or anti-MAGA or Trump haters. And now this, which he's done something extraordinary and gone against the will of the party, because 65-75% of Republicans are adamantly opposed to Ukraine spending. And if you explain the details of it, 90% are opposed. Why is Johnson going to be allowed to survive as Speaker?
I want to warn you of a huge change that could be coming to our money and our bank accounts. First, think back to 9/11, shortly after the government pushed through the Patriot Act. This gave the government power to spy on innocent Americans by monitoring our phone and email and tracking our movement across the internet. Now, Jim Rickards, editor of the independent financial newsletter Strategic Intelligence and New York Times bestselling author, is warning about a coming event that could elevate this governmental surveillance to a terrifying new level. In fact, some of the guests I've had on the War Room believe that the government will soon expand their powers to track our every move. If we say the wrong things on social media, donate to the wrong causes, buy firearms, or even vote MAGA, the government may be able to shut us out of our bank accounts. I can't say for sure if this will happen, but it's an interesting and dire warning. Fortunately, Jim Rickards, an American patriot and friend of mine, has made it his mission to educate us on what he believes is coming and how to protect yourself from the possibility of programmable money. Watch Jim's warning video now before it's censored like I've been in the past. Go to rickardswarroom.com. That's rickardswarroom.com now to see the video.
Well, I want to just go back to what you just said a few moments ago, Steve. The hope for folks that we're making a difference, shows like this, people like you, people in the battle, you had some unprecedented things take place in the last couple of days. As you noted, for the first time, you had Democrats pass a rule, the minority party, I should say, pass a rule, because Thomas Massey, for the first time, joined Ralph Norman and Chip Roy in voting against a rule. That's why we got those guys on the Rules Committee back in January, 15 months ago, in the negotiations with the former speaker was so that principled conservatives could block it when the speaker's trying to abuse the Rules Committee to do things like what's going on now. So you had you've got courageous conservatives doing what they're supposed to do. You also had 55 members of the Republican House vote against the rule on the floor. That's a high watermark. You've been seeing 20-something of us, maybe even 30-something, so 55. And you had new people who had never voted for a rule before. You also had a history made with 161 Democrats voted for the rule on the floor. So the point of that is, Steve, we are further exposing what the speaker's doing, who he is, what he's become. And the answer, Steve, is to elect President Trump in November, but it's also, Steve, to win these battlegrounds in the primaries across the country, to defeat these incumbents who are betraying us and voting with the speaker and voting with the Democrats, quite frankly, and to elect more courageous conservative warriors to swell our numbers, to have more influence, and for everybody back home to let their member who's
okay,
voting the wrong way know.
I understand that today will be another unmasking because we'll find out who votes in Ukraine, and I hope that it's a majority. The majority vote no, but I'm just telling you, because I think we got a pretty good feel for this. The key to these races is to have massive MAGA turnouts. If you right. don't take action on the speaker, if you don't take action on the speaker, people are just going to say you're going to have a hard time with 5 or 10%, a very hard time. I think a lot of them are just going to say, hey, I put my shoulder to the wheel. I was there. But there's no discipline and there's no accountability. Somebody has to hold. You guys did a magnificent job for the first time in the history of our republic in 234 years, I think, of the institution of the Congress. You removed a sitting speaker, and you moved a sitting speaker because he lied to you so many times. He misrepresented to you. He did something on the debt deal that was extraordinary, and you took action. People are going to sit there and go, if it wasn't about personality, and you didn't, it just caused the personality of McCarthy. Johnson's actually been, you would argue, actually been a bigger double dealer and lied to your face many times. You were here the other day and said you spent 90, you and the Freedom Caucus and you're the chairman, spent 90 minutes with him, and you laid out such a logical thing. Even the Warren Posse didn't totally agree with it, but I could understand your position on Ukraine about, hey, here's how we get a win. Here's how we stop what we want to stop. He completely just essentially laughed you guys off and went and did what he was always going to do with the deep state and the Democrats. So how do you just let him have a pass?
Well, I can't certainly can't, great question. Certainly can't defend him. I would have much trouble voting to keep him as speaker because he's done nothing to merit that. But I think if you compare it to what happened at the end of September, 1st of October, what we did 6 months or so ago, Steve, there's a lot of uncertainty then, and you couldn't guarantee what the outcome would be. We had an 8 or 9 vote margin. Now we've got a 2 or 3 vote margin. I think it's not inconceivable to think that we might have a couple of resignations if you were to have a motion to vacate. But Steve, look what happened when we went through that process last September, where we were in a stronger, or last October. We weren't able to get Jim Jordan through. We ended up blocking and defeating some. We got Mike Johnson. I do think there's it's more of dangerous at this point just because of the numbers. I think the thing to do is to emasculate him, to weaken him, and to frankly have a contest in November, a deliberative contest, which I don't think he would be able to prevail in. But I think we've got a better chance of getting a good speaker or a better speaker in November than we do right now. Plus, Steve, if we end up with, let's say, the majority leader becomes the sort of de facto person that gets the support, you end up with an incumbent going to November that it's harder to defeat than it would be if, I believe, if Mike Johnson were the speaker going into November. So I can't disagree with you strongly, but I am concerned about just the numbers here. I'm also concerned about going into the election with it. You know, it divided many people when we did it back last October. I believe it was the right thing to do, and I would do it again. Go back and do again what I did at that time. But I think the numbers are just create a different situation.
So look, people that folks on this audience admire, yourself, Anna Paulina Luna, Matt Gaetz, do you believe, because I know we got to let you go, you got to bounce, do you believe that the actual threat, because I think this also shows you the treacherous nature of the people on our side of the football, do you believe they're actually, because Anna Paulina Luna believes it, and I think Matt Gaetz believes it, that they're actually Republicans to stop this and to keep control, really, the Democrats, would actually resign to essentially give Hakeem Jeffries, because this is what you're saying. You're saying the people that actually this audience has worked for, has raised money for, has walked precincts for, that would actually resign if we move forward to do this to give the speakership to Hakeem Jeffries for the last 6 months in the run-up to this massive fight President Trump has, and have a guy that can put the knife in him at any time. That's what you're saying is your fear, that there are actually Republicans that would do that.
That's one concern that I have. I mean, I don't understand why some of these most recent resignations took place. I can't conclude they were anything more than malicious. Why did these people resign at the time they did? They gave no valid explanation for why they had to resign right now. So I am concerned about that. But that is just one of the concerns that I have with respect to doing it right now.
Do you anticipate today on this vote that we will get the majority of the majority? I mean, how do you think the vote in Ukraine will come out as you can feel it today?
I don't think you'll get the majority of the majority on Ukraine. I think Republicans will vote, I think you have a slight majority of Republicans vote against Ukraine. I think you'll have overwhelmingly Democrats vote for Ukraine. But Steve, back on this motion to vacate, I think the Democrats will save him. I think that's part of the deal that's been made. I think that's part of the deal. They get their $9 billion for Hamas in the Israel package. I'm going to vote against the Israel package today, Steve. I strongly support Israel, but I don't support borrowing the money to do it. And I don't support sticking $9 billion to support Hamas or Gaza there, which really is Hamas, as we know. We're playing both sides. We're funding both sides, funding Israel's enemies while we're trying to fund Israel, and we're borrowing to do it. So I think the cake has been baked and the deal has been made. I think Democrats will overwhelmingly support this deal. And I think if the speaker was vacated, then they'll support him there to save him as well. I mean, why wouldn't they? He's doing what they want him to do.
On principle, I just want to sure I understand this. On principle, you're saying he should be removed, but the practicality and the logistics of it make it risk that you don't believe and others don't believe can be mitigated. But that there's no difference. In fact, you could actually argue this guy is worse than McCarthy.
Well, he's certainly no better. I can't defend him in any way. All we've really got left is the funding battles in September, which is a big deal. What we've got to try to do is keep that whatever deal we make or they make. I'm going to oppose it in all likelihood, but we shorten it so it impacts the president, President Trump, as little as possible into the new year. So we have another bite at the apple as quickly as possible. So what I am saying is I think that the fight is better in November. However, as I noted, I can't defend the speaker, and I don't know that I could vote to keep the speaker. I couldn't defend that vote. I couldn't make a case to keep him, but I just would rather that the battle took place in November.
On the spending, just before you go on the spending, we haven't agreed on top line yet. The appropriation process in single bet is how it's going to be allocated, but what is the latest on because if Biden gave us a $7.3 trillion budget, they'll have a $2 trillion deficit, particularly with the tax revenues collapsing because of what he's really done with the economy, the true economy. So Speaker Johnson, this will be another thing. What is your idea about the timing of when we get to the top line number?
Well, we ought to have it out now. We ought to be working to that now. I just heard this morning from a credible but not authoritative source that it might be 1.606, the fiscal responsibility number that was voted into law last year that was exceeded for this year. You know, we're somewhere $60 billion higher than that. So I guess that would be a modest step in the right direction if it didn't go higher, if it went down by $60 billion. That's a number I heard this morning. I cannot confirm that's absolutely true, but that's what I heard this morning.
Okay, and do you know the timing of when that'll have to be agreed to? How many weeks?
Well, it doesn't have to be agreed to until September 30. And if you didn't get it done by September 30, there'd be a shutdown, which we've talked about many, many times before. You and I don't fear that. However, how do you start writing the individual appropriations bills if you don't know what the number that you're working is? But I don't know, Steve, that we ought to announce the numbers going in as a giveaway our leverage on the dollars if we're still trying to fight for policies. You know, one of the reasons why we got such a bad deal on the policies most recently was because we told them, hey, we're not going to fight you on the numbers. And we gave the Democrats the numbers they want. So it's a really good number. I don't know if it's a great thing to join with the Democrats and agree on that number in advance. But
we'll let you go back. What should we look forward to on this vote today? What's your guess? What's the timing's going to be around 1 o'clock? I think, or is it going to be pushed up?
1:30 is what they're telling us. I think the thing, Steve, is see how many Republicans we can get with the courage to vote no. How many to vote border security by voting no against the Ukraine deal because of that. I'm against Ukraine anyway, but I certainly even more violently against it because of the lack of border security. Same thing with even just voting for these other supplementals when we're borrowing $100 billion. Republicans got to be the party of fiscal responsibility. We have not been that, but let's pump up the Republican numbers. We've got some groups scoring against the bills. That's good. But, you know, not all conservatives are in the right place they should be, especially on the Israel bill when it's borrowed. It's got $9 billion for Hamas.
Just on Ukraine, I just want everybody to be clear. When those Republicans voting for Ukraine are voting on top of almost a $1 trillion defense bill, giving another $60 billion to the oligarchs in Ukraine, of which Chip Roy makes a great case, very little of that's gone to the battlefield, and doing that with nothing for border security. So those Republicans that vote for that are putting the security of the insovereignty of Ukraine ahead of the security and sovereignty of this country. Is that a fair way to lay it out?
Absolutely. And to add insult to injury, 300 million of the Ukraine 60 billion is for border personnel for them. 300 million.
Congressman, good. Where do people follow you today, sir?
Good.house.gov at Rep. Bob Good. Appreciate it, Steve. Keep up the fight, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Do we have, is MTG still on the floor or she? Can we, we can cut it. Yeah, let's go ahead and play. We're going to go to the floor and MTG's speech.
Amendment number 2, printed in Part B of House Report 118-466. For what purpose does the gentlewoman from Georgia seek recognition?
Mr. Speaker, I have an amendment at the desk.
The clerk will designate the amendment.
Amendment number 2, printed in Part B of House Report number 118-466, offered by Ms. Green of Georgia.
Pursuant to House Resolution 1160, the gentlewoman from Georgia, Ms. Green, and a member opposed, each will control 5 minutes. The chair now recognizes the gentlewoman from Georgia.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My amendment today would drive the bill for Ukraine, take each dollar amount in this act is hereby reduced to zero. You see, the United States taxpayer has already sent $113 billion to Ukraine, and a lot of that money is unaccounted for. This is a continuance of a sick business model that the American government continues. The federal government continues to fund the military-industrial complex, and this is a business model that requires Congress to continue to vote for money, to continue to fund foreign wars, and this is a business model the American people do not support. They don't support a business model built on blood and murder and war in foreign countries, while this very government does nothing to secure our border. The American people are over $34 trillion in debt, and the debt is rising by over $40 billion every single night while we all sleep. But yet nothing is done to secure our border or reduce our debt. Inflation has driven out of control. Americans are suffering every single day. They can hardly afford their grocery bills. They can hardly afford gas in their car. They can hardly afford rent. And now mortgage payments are well over $3,000, where they were only just over $1,700 3 years ago.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
The youngest generation, young adults, don't even think they're going to be able to buy a home in their lifetime. And today in Congress, the most important thing that this body thinks should be done is to send another $61 billion to a war in Ukraine that the American people by 70% do not support. Mind you, this comes on the very heels of Monday being April 15th, tax day, where every single American had to scrounge up their money and send their dollars in to the IRS. Or some of them had to file extensions because they weren't ready and didn't have the money to pay their taxes. But today, this body says the most important thing we can do, no, is not reduce spending. That's not it. Not to do anything to drive down inflation. Oh no, we can't do that for the American people. It's not to secure our own border that is invaded every single day, by people from over 160 different countries. No, don't secure the American border. Let everyone in. We have over 1.8 million known gotaways. We don't know who these people are. And yet you have members of this body talking big and tough about, oh, we have to defeat Russia. Oh, we have to protect Ukraine. But yet all of you are unwilling to protect the American citizens that pay your paycheck, pay the light bills in this building, and pay for this entire federal government. For what? For nothing. Ukraine is not even a member of NATO. Ukraine is not a member of NATO. But the most important thing you hear in Washington, D.C. is, oh, we have to spend Americans' hard-earned tax dollars over to Ukraine and keep the money going to continue to murder Ukrainians, wipe out an entire generation of Ukrainian men so that there are widows, there are fatherless orphans, there are not enough men to work in their industries. Oh, but you really support Ukraine. Wow, what kind of support is that? It's repulsive. You know, shame on the American government. Shame on the American government. If we support our military, support our military. We should be funding to build up our weapons and ammunition, not to send it over to foreign countries to kill foreign peoples. And if this body was worth what it claims to be what it is, every single one of us would be demanding peace in Ukraine between these countries. Peace for these people so that no more of them have to die. But you never hear anybody demanding peace. No, 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 no. Peace is the last thing Washington wants because it doesn't fit the business model. This is a business model that they say continues our economy, protects American jobs. What a disgusting business model. We should have a business model that builds up our American companies and American jobs to serve American interest, and our military and our government should care about protecting the national security of the United States of America and the Americans that pay their hard-earned tax dollars to fund all of this. America last. America last. That's all this is. Every single day, America last.
Gentlewoman's time has expired.
I yield.
Gentlewoman yields. For what purpose does the gentlewoman from Connecticut seek recognition?
Okay. Thank you. Let's go back to Ben Harnwell. I think you can lay it out better than MTG. And remember, MTG would be the first to tell you she's not Churchill, right? But that's pretty powerful. Particularly, you've seen the rest of this, the crap rhetoric they're throwing up. You know, the McCall, this is the Churchill versus Chamberlain moment. Right there, you got it right between the eyes. With something quite simple, boom, to lay out the case. I might duly note that her amendment just got voted down by a voice vote, so it did not pass. There's the thing about this debate today, unless there's really about amendments, there's not going to be a lot of debate. I don't think Chip Roy's going to get to speak here or any of the other, many of the other anti-Ukraine debacle money. It's going to be very limited today. Ben Harnwell, continue on. The Kiev Post, and this is... I'm sure that you scratched the surface a little bit. This is the Langley Bugles Kiev outpost, right? Kiev publication. But they want investigations of MTG. They want investigations of J.D. Vance. Let me just make sure that Zelensky and the group of criminals that are around him understand. when we're back in power, there's actually going to be a real investigation of where the money went, what it was spent on, what you did with it. And as sure as the turning of the earth, the oligarchs around Zelensky himself, everybody associated with him, that when we track all the money and where it went and where it ended up, I strongly believe I'll take the over on criminal charges, massive criminal charges being filed against those guys. So Kyiv Post, put it where the sun does not shine. Ben Harnwell, your thoughts?
Steve, I'll definitely have that link up. And I've got a couple of other things I'd like to say. Just following on from Representatives Good and Taylor Green here, I want to go back to something that Punchbowl said on Wednesday when Speaker Johnson released his four bills. He said, this is Jake Sherman, right? He says, this is a major victory for President Joe Biden, who's been lobbying for months for aid to Kyiv. This is a major victory for President Joe Biden. It's not that Democrats, as Axios then on the same day in their analysis said, it's not that Democrats are going to come and bail out Mike Johnson. What Mike Johnson is doing is he's bailing out Democrats. That's absolutely important here. And to ask the question, why are these Republicans here? Why are they granting a major victory to President Joe Biden when he's flailing around in the water? Why are they doing this? Because ahead of November, they're trying to help him. These are so-called Republicans elected by members of the Republican Party, as you said, who donate, they go out, they campaign. Elected Republicans who are in your face. These people are trying to help Joe Biden get elected back in in November. That's the point I want to make on that. There's something. I had two other stories that
Maybe we have to get to those Monday. I want to hit rewind, and I want to take your time and say exactly what this is about. This is a bailout, not just of Ukraine. This is a total financial bailout of Biden's failed national security and foreign policy. Bails out Morning Joe. It bails out the CNN crowd. It's a total bailout driven by Republicans. Walk me through that again, Ben Harnwell.
It's a lifeline, Steve. This has been a failing administration. They know it. You know, you look at the independent, who's that? James Carville, right? You know, these people realize that this administration is failing and is visibly failing. You had that sportscaster. You said you were going to hear from him today. People realize, independent people, Carville's not necessarily independent, right? But people with a brain on their shoulders realize sort of within a democratic ambit that this administration is failing. And what Mike Johnson has done is that he has thrown this administration a lifeline. This is probably the only nearest thing that Joe Biden's going to be able to present to the American people in November as an achievement of his administration, right? This is supporting Ukraine because they can, you know, they can have the propaganda here and pretend to be the second coming of Winston Churchill. And that's how they're going to pummel this. This is his big achievement. And I'm going to quote. This isn't Harnwell, right? This isn't Steve. This isn't you. This isn't the war room. This is Jake Sherman, right? He said, "This is a major victory for President Joe Biden." And I want to repeat this point, right? Axios got the same story wrong. They said that that the Democrats were going to be bailing out Speaker Johnson. That is absolutely wrong. Sherman's got it right. Johnson is bailing out the Democrats. And to say the point once again, why are they doing this? Why are Republican congressmen, why are they helping the Biden administration now to give him his signature victory? Because these are the people who are more threatened by a second Trump administration than the Democrats, right? You know, the McCalls and all the rest of them. These are the people who really are going to get it, as you say, when the reckoning comes in November. They are doing everything that they can. The Democrats are stacking the system with these loaded political DOJ hit jobs in New York, right? And the Republicans, it's like a 1-2 punch. The Democrats are trying to close Trump's chances down in court, and the Republicans are trying to stop this from happening by giving Joe Biden his signature achievement. And I've got to quote this. This is Jake Sherman. This is a major victory for President Joe Biden.
Ben, we'll leave the other stories. I know they're important. We'll leave them for Monday because I want to do it in the fullness of this vote. Stephen A. Smith, like I said today, we'll play the clip on Monday, goes through why the minority community realizes the great replacement theory is against them with his invasion of the southern border, the sportscaster and cultural commentator. Ben Harnwell right there, because a lot of people are saying, well, hold it. Don't we have to support Johnson because this helps Trump? It's the exact opposite. Jake Sherman gave Ben the fodder, and then Ben put it in a perfect package. This is a bailout of the failed Biden regime, brought to you by the neoliberal neocons in the Republican Party that support the underlying tenets. They support the predicate of that regime. They're anti-Trump. They're anti-America first. They're anti-MAGA. And now it's all been exposed. And I realize this has been a tough couple of days. And hey, guess what? You think we've had a tough couple of days in the last few days? You ain't seen nothing yet. You wait till this trial starts on Monday, coupled with the open civil war that's going to take place on Capitol Hill. Because as much as I think of Bob Good and Matt Gaetz and Anna Paulina Luna and the other rest of the hard eight that aren't up for this, let me just be blunt. We got to call their bluff. Johnson's got to go. He's got to go. If we're going to stand on principle, we got to stand on principle. The logistics of this, we will never turn it over to Hakeem Jeffries. But if you're telling me that what's holding us back for holding him accountable is the fact that more of these guys like Gallagher, who's a total traitor and really a Democrat, a moderate Democrat, if it's them resigning to turn it over to Hakeem Jeffries, we need to unmask that. We need to lance the boil, and we need to lance it now. And believe me, folks, it's not going to be a pleasant experience. Just like what we got to do in Ukraine to find out what's really going on, these are not going to be pleasant experiences. When you find out what your government on your tax dollars has been supporting, we've got to lance the boil on this party. If we're going to have a civil war, let's have one. If we're going to have a civil war inside the Republican Party, let's throw down and have it. With very few resources, we've made tremendous progress. You've kind of removed McConnell. You've removed McCarthy. You removed the RNC. It's not perfect. And what we've come up in those instances ain't perfect either. But it's progress. It is trust the process. But you can't, the only way we lose is if we quit. The only way we lose is if we blink. The only way we lose is we falter. And remember that line from President Trump that's now that book. We must finish what we started. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be nasty. And you're going to be uncomfortable. But if you don't think in the American Revolution they had tough days and uncomfortable days and days when they thought people who were with them were actually Tories and traitors or traitors to the cause of liberty, you ain't read history about the American Revolution, okay? It was a 20 or 30-year process, and it wasn't ended until the Battle of New Orleans. It took 30 or 40 years to do it, longer. That's where we are. Ben Harnwell in Rome. Thank you, Ben. Where do people get you on social media?
Thanks so much, Steve. Get us my social media platform of choice. Tap in my surname, at Harnwell. There I am. Yeah.
Brain analysis. We're going to push this out. We're going to be live on Getter. We're going to be live on Rumble. I'll be jumping in and out. Grayson Moe will be running that. We got a lot to do today. Vote coming up. I understand it's hard, but you've been called to do hard things. You have. If they want a civil war in the Republican Party, let's give it to them. See you back here Monday morning. I'll be up on Getter all week.
Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. you could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on, grind you for all your back taxes plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
Room at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.